Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Welcome back to Part 2 with Sue Kalinske. You're listening to Kill Me Now. Karen Bergreen's still in the room because we never stopped taping. Remember, Karen?
Oh, yes.
But this is Part 2 of Sue Kalinske, the fucking greatest person in the entire world. What was your first writing job? And how did you get in? How did you say, I can't do this shit anymore?
My first writing gig was Brotherly Love. Like TV writing gig?
Right.
My friend Nicole, I don't know if you know Nicole. You know Nicole of Real, my writing partner.
Oh,
she
was
my writing partner for years.
How is she?
She's great.
Say hi.
She's great. Nicole was a waitress at Stand Up New York. Mm-hmm. She was an ex-dancer. She was an actress. And she always had a gift for writing. And when I moved out to L.A., she had already been living out here. And it was one of those kind of situations where I used to see her at Stand Up New York all the time when I worked there. And I loved her. Mm-hmm. But we never hung out outside the club.
Right.
So it was like you were my waitress friend, basically.
Right.
So when she found out that I was living in L.A., she looked me up and we got together. And I was at the point in my stand-up career where I just felt like I wasn't going to be Roseanne. No one was going to develop a show for me. So I got to really start thinking about what I'm going to do with my career. I didn't want to be on the road anymore. I was on the road a lot. I was in a relationship with Ken. We had a dog. I just wanted to be home.
Right.
So Nicole suggested that we, write a spec script. So we wrote... Ironically, we wrote an Ellen
from the original.
And then we wrote a Mad About You, and we got an agent immediately, CAA.
Wow!
And we got a job on Brotherly Love, And
who starred in that?
It was Joey Lawrence and his two brothers.
Right.
Schmock and Valley, Jonathan and Jimmy were the showrunners.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Gordetsky worked on the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mike Rowe came on.
I love Mike Rowe.
The second half of the season. And it was a blast. And the show lasted a year. And it actually had been on the year before in a different network, and then it moved over to the WB. And it got canceled. And we were like, all right, what are we going to do? So we started writing like we had an idea for an original show that was about two women in their 30s living in New York, living together, you know, way before, you know, it
was before Friends.
Yeah, it was before Friends. And it was, you know, like I think of like, you know, Two Broke Girls.
Right.
It was a really, really smart take on two women who just weren't there yet in their lives.
Right.
And we went to a taping. Dice Clay was doing some pilot. Mm-hmm. And we went to the taping of the pilot, and we were talking to some fellow woman writer, and we told her that we were going to be pitching this to our agents. And they said, you know, someone's doing a show called Sex in the City on HBO.
Oh, my God.
And we thought, well, it's not four girls, it's two girls.
Right.
And we were like, oh, damn. So we said, okay, well, we have to get a job on the show.
Right.
That's it.
Mm.
So our mutual friend, Michael Patrick King.
Who's done the podcast.
Who, actually, I co-signed his first credit card.
Wow.
Yes. So, Michael.
Why aren't you writing on Two Broke Girls?
No. He doesn't hire friends, really. I mean, whatever, I don't even want to talk about it. Anyway, so.
Ellen.
So we said to our agent, you know, can you get us a meeting with Michael and Darren? And, you know, I didn't know Darren Star. And they said they're not hiring anybody. And they were like, and I was like, well, just get us a meeting. And they said, well, they're not hiring anybody. So I was like, just get us a meeting. I know Michael Patrick King.
Right.
So she just wouldn't get us a meeting. So I called up Caroline Strauss, who was a big executive at Caroline Strauss, who was a big executive at HBO. And I said to Caroline, you've got to get us a meeting with Michael. And she says, they're really not hiring anybody. And I said, Caroline, it's me. Get me a fucking meeting. So she gets us a meeting, and, you know, we walk in, and in our spec scripts, we wrote a Larry Sanders that was really, really funny. And we had a great meeting with Michael and Darren. And on the way out, Michael asks, just throwing it out here, what do you think of anal sex? And I said, only if Quaaludes are involved. And he and Darren laughed so hard. And we got the job.
No way!
And
that's
we wrote on the show
story.
The first season.
That's great. Judy Toll wrote on that
show.
She
wrote on it later. And Nicole and I split up. Mm-hmm. I came to New York and did a radio show here.
Right.
And two seasons later, it wasn't only sports with Steve Mason, but it was kind of everything.
Right. How is Steve Mason?
He's great.
Oh, tell him I said
hi. He's going to love that I saw you.
Oh, I love him. Go.
And Nicole went back two seasons later and by herself. And that's when she worked with Judy Toll. But it was great. I mean, that was great.
That's a fucking great story. Okay, so you have then written... Can you tell us all the shows you've written on? Go.
I didn't write on many.
Right, but you've written...
Then I got into reality TV.
Right.
So after that whole thing happened with Sex and the City, Nicole and I broke up, and I was sad when we broke up.
Was that sad?
Yeah, it was sad. She wanted to write by herself, and I was like, okay. And I took it personally. Oh, God, I need a safe word.
I know.
Or a sound effect.
All right, sorry.
So,
Yeah, go ahead.
So Steve Mason, who...
I love.
Now,
what is he doing now?
He has a great radio show on ESPN LA. In LA, obviously.
Yeah.
And he's great. And his partner I know forever.
Okay.
So I, as a comic, and because I was still doing stand-up at the time, I just wasn't doing it as much.
Right.
I used to get invited, because I play golf, I used to get invited to these celebrity golf tournaments. So Kenny and I would go, and, like, you know, Alan Havey, and then, like, you know, Samuel Jackson and Sylvester
That's
Stallone,
fun.
All these, like, huge celebrities. Bill Gates would go, and it was in Seattle. Richard Karn from Home Improvement.
Yes.
His mother had cancer, so he put this whole thing together, and it was so much fun. So I did it for, like, I don't know, 5 years or whatever, and I, you know, a lot of times I'd bring a friend, so Nicole came with me, and a Toll would go, and anyway, so... They expanded it from a weekend to a week, and a side, and you only had to do one night of comedy, and then you got everything for free.
Right.
A great hotel, you got per diem.
Right.
They expanded it a week, and they added a softball game, and they invited Ladman, Kathy Ladman, and
right.
I to go up to the booth and do play by play with Mark Harmon and Steve Mason, and I didn't know Steve. This is the first time I met
right.
him.
Right.
So the next morning,
didn't you say I want to play softball? All right, go ahead.
Well, you know, that was actually when Liefer and I used to go on vacation. Mm-hmm. This was like the gay detector when
yeah.
we would check into our room.
Yeah,
because they would say, you know, do you want a double bed or a single bed, or you know, mm-hmm. and then they would say, will you be playing softball with us this week? that was Carol's detector. So Kathy and I had a great time, and you know, we had so much fun with Steve. Well, I see him later at the hotel, and he says, "You want to do my radio show in the morning?" And I looked at him and I said, "Who canceled?" Because the people
right.
that were there, so,
right.
you know, Samuel Jackson,
right.
all those people.
Right.
And I said, "You don't want me." And he says, no, I really want you to do the show." And I said, "You're so full of shit." And I'll do it, because
right.
you had to get up at like 4:30
right.
in the morning.
And I'll do it.
And
right.
I'll do it. So. Like, I go on the show, and at one point, he asks me if I have a trivia question.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, sure. So I, you know, the question was something like, which like relief pitcher on the Dodgers had like, no, which closer on the Dodgers had the most saves? And people are, you know, calling
yeah.
in and, you know, whatever, and like, no one's guessing it. And Steve says, okay, Sue, want to tell them who it is? And I said, I have no idea.
That's so funny.
I said, you just asked me if I had a question. So that became like a running
right.
joke. And then he started to invite me on the show
right.
all the time.
Right.
And I started to come on Fridays, and I did a segment, and he called me Crazy Sue. So
right.
I was Crazy Sue Kalinske. And it was a trivia question that I would always have. And, but you know, I'd stay on and he would ask me what's going on in my life or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no matter where I was, I would always have to be available at 3:00 on a Friday.
Right.
So sometimes I would be golfing.
Right.
And
right.
I'd be with a foursome of people
right.
I didn't know. And I'd say, you guys tee off. I have to call
right.
into the show. And then they would, you know, then it was time for me to hit.
Right.
I was like, all right, well, I'm golfing. All right, I'm going to put this guy Joe on the phone. So Joe would talk to him. And I heard the guy say, she's really not good. I was like, I can't believe you're telling him a bad golfer. Anyway, so, you know, I did it for a couple of years, and it was really, really fun. And anyway, so then what did I do? So, and then I got into reality TV. I came back from New York after I did the radio show, actually.
Right.
I came back from New York, and Kenny and I split up, and it was really horrible. And, you know, like, what am I going to do with my career? And Liefer actually turned me on to some guy who was doing a lot of reality
mm-hmm.
stuff. It was Cheating Spouses Caught on Tape 2. And you were just writing copy, you know?
Right.
And
you knew about it because of Kenny.
Yeah, really. It was such a perfect job to have
right.
at that moment. And anyway, he asked Carol if she wanted to do it. She didn't want to do it, so I got the job. And probably the greatest thing that I wrote, because they gave you a lot of freedom
right.
with the copy, so it was a situation. It was the most depressing show in the world, because you're just watching
right.
these poor people
right.
like who don't know what's going on with their spouses. And
did they really not know? Or
well,
was it?
Well, they're suspicious,
right.
or they really don't know.
Right.
Like this one woman, she had a massage parlor or whatever, and her husband was one of the masseuses there. And she had, you know, didn't think anything was going on with she and her husband. She just set up security cameras because she thought people were stealing from her.
Right.
Well, she looks at one of the tapes and her husband is eating out a woman.
Oh, my God.
That gets a whistle just for having a
yeah.
whistle. Okay.
So.
And that's on the show?
Oh, yeah, that's on the show.
Did they show
well,
that?
Well, they blurred.
What channel? Oh my
God. Talk about a happy ending.
Oh, baby. So this is how she finds out. So,
wait, do you think that's funny?
I think it's funny, but I'm like, I'm so upset now. So.
Why are you upset that the husband was eating out the?
I'm upset about, like, how does the show? Do they resolve it? Do they have revenge? Like, I'm
sometimes,
all about.
Well, sometimes they would, you know, do a confronting. Like sometimes, you know, they would do a confronting.
Well, what happened
situation.
To them? Did they get divorced?
Oh, I have no idea. I didn't stay in touch with them. But
I would have been in touch. I'm so codependent. I would have been in touch.
And
with
I wonder if that was like on the menu. You know, Swedish, Thai,
right.
Head.
That's so funny.
So one of the things that was great. There was this real estate company.
It's a new massage technique.
Yeah.
So there was a real estate company, and this company they actually thought that some of their workers were stealing from them.
Right.
So it was. Got this couple late at night, and you just see the camera panning all of these computers on tables, and then it stops on a guy sitting in a folding chair, and then it pans down and you see the woman's head.
Oh God!
Giving him a blowjob.
Giving him a blowjob. So I wrote, the man sitting in the chair works for this. Real estate company.
Right.
The woman raking in the commission is not his wife.
Oh my God.
As she was taking jizz in her mouth.
That is so funny.
So that's the kind of stuff that we would write.
So that's the kind of stuff. Did you crack up?
Oh God, I laughed all day, every day. So I did that, and then from there, I stayed at the company. They did a lot of schlocky TV.
Right.
I did like Sexiest Bachelor in America.
Right.
Who Wants to Date a Prince? Which was the most depressing show in the world. And this was when reality TV
was just
kind of starting. And the gig.
What was your definition of prince?
Okay, my definition of prince. Well, you saw Shrek, right?
Yeah.
Okay, remember the little prince?
Yeah.
Okay. This was a prince that was like, it's kind of like having like cousins like far removed.
Right.
He was a prince in like a country I never even heard.
Right,
I don't even know if it was a real country.
Like there's been a revolution since. Yeah.
And he was really little, right? So it was so stupid because you had all
the
these,
little prince, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. And the way they set the stage up, he was like up in like it looked like a really shitty like treehouse, right?
I'm picturing
us, and that's where he was sequestered,
right?
And these women, they never saw what he looked like. You know, they never met him. They didn't
know
who he was.
All they knew is that he was a prince.
He was a prince.
Now, was it like now where they just want to get on TV, or did they really want to date a prince?
Well, I don't think they really want to date a prince. I mean, maybe some of them did, but the fact of the matter is some of them got so emotional because they had to, like, give their spiel of, like, and they had to talk to the treehouse.
Right.
And they had to give their spiel.
Did they see him?
No, he was like sequestered in there, you know, so you'd see like a shadow, you know.
Right.
I want to look this thing up. Okay, go
and
on.
They had to kind of plead their case of why they would be the perfect person to be with him. And like a couple of girls would like, they would like cry, like, I love you. It's like, you never even met.
I love you.
It was such a desperate.
So
it was such a desperate plea, just to be on television.
And who picked the women to be the guests?
I'm sure it was all. Oh, who picked the? Well, they had casting people.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Were they all
picking,
beautiful?
No. But and also, you know, you're picking like the most damaged people in the world because they have the best story.
Right.
Like what? Like you know.
What normal person
is going to want to be on the show? Oh God, it was just crazy. So I did that.
I just can't imagine. Like, I really want to date a prince.
Yeah.
Like,
then pleading their case. I love. All right, go ahead.
I did that, and then I got the Ellen job.
Mm-hmm.
And then while I was doing Ellen and ready to leave,
Ellen no likey Sukulinski.
Right when I was, I knew that I had to leave. You know.
Right.
And my option had been up once, and they honored it. And then when it came up again, I had already decided I wasn't going to stay. Jeff Stilson, our fellow comedian
friend, writer.
Jeff came in once a week as a consultant.
Right.
And he just knew how miserable I was. So we were at it was the last taping that I went to.
Mm-hmm.
I came outside during a break, and I was standing outside the stage door, and Ellen came out to have a cigarette, and she, like, we were standing, like, as close as you and I are.
Right.
And she, like, didn't even, like, acknowledge, like, didn't even say hello or right. anything. It was, like, just so mean. And I came so close to telling her to, like, just to fuck off.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to give her the satisfaction right. that she is getting to me like
right,
this.
Right,
right. So I met with Carol and Mitch, and, you know, I told him, I can't do this anymore, you know. I'd rather quit than get fired, and I don't care. And Henriette Mantel,
right.
Henriette and Jeff were working on the Osbournes.
Right.
And they said, we need one more segment producer. And Jeff said, you know, let's call up Kalinske.
Right.
Because she hates where she is,
right.
and she would be great on the show. And I started working on the Osbournes.
That's
and that was
awesome.
Like the greatest job ever.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So, tell us, you know, you're married now.
Yes.
Happily.
The greatest guy
greatest
in the world.
Greatest guy.
Well, you know my story with Tom, right? I know
that
him
you
since,
knew him in high school.
I know him since junior high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you reconnected.
Yeah.
But... In
wait,
the
can I just like interrupt for one sec?
Yeah.
How did you reconnect? Is it a good like a
Tom
good...
and Tom and I were always we were always friends.
Yes,
we had maybe a little lapse here and there throughout our lives, but we're still friends with a lot of people we grew up with, and
right.
we you know we see each other all the time. So when I was with Kenny, you know Tom and I were friends. We go out to lunch, and he's so cute, and I had a huge crush on him when we were kids, but we never dated. I dated all his loser friends. Actually, one of the guys who died, two guys who are dead now, mm-hmm. were my boyfriends. So
I'm just saying people should stay away from you. But
yeah,
go on.
They should. I've three guys.
Maybe that's
dead.
Why Ellen didn't like you. She was scared.
She was afraid
gonna
that
die.
She was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so a mutual friend of ours. Always wanted me to date Tom because he knew that my relationship with Kenny was just fractured, and he invited me to. He got tickets to a concert, and unbeknownst to me, Tom was going to be there, and we just kind of got reacquainted there in a way like we were kind of looking at each other like, oh well, this could be something. We went out to dinner like you know weeks later, and I would if he would have asked me to marry him that night, I would have said yes.
Wow. I love that.
So how did you find out Kenny had died and what?
Oh, God, yeah. I was entering for my taxes. I was
right.
doing all my tax stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the phone rang. I guess it was like 7 o'clock at night. And I just didn't, you know, I just didn't pick it up. I didn't even look to see.
Right,
I just
right.
didn't want to talk to him because I really determined to finish this. And then it rang like 10 minutes later or 5 minutes later. And I was like, someone's really trying to get in touch with me. So I looked and I didn't notice one of the numbers I didn't recognize. And the other number was a woman who was like she did like legal music for the Osbournes.
Right.
So I knew her for years and I was like, it's kind of weird that she's calling me. And, so I listened to her message first, and she said, Leah Krinsky, who was a comic that we knew from New York, who I really wasn't very close with
mm-hmm.
at all, is trying to get in touch with you. And I thought, and I don't know why, but I automatically thought something happened to Ken. Because I thought to myself, what connection do I have
to Leah?
Why would she be calling me? And I didn't know anything
right,
about
right.
the two of them or anything. And then I listened to the next message, and it was from Leah saying, what the fuck is going on? How come nobody answers their phone? Please call me. She was dating him.
No.
She was, you know, she had been dating him for a very short period of time. And I didn't know. She
mm-hmm.
thought that he told me, because I guess mm-hmm. he told her he told me. Because
right.
we remain really good friends,
right,
Kenny
right,
and
right.
I. And she had a date with him that night. They were going to see Lou DiMaggio do Jeff Garlin's, you know, he does that improv and then
yes.
comedy. So, and Kenny didn't pick her up. He was supposed to.
What year is this?
2009.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, go on.
So she thought it was, oh, here we go, typical Ken, getting, you know, cold feet. He's not picking me up. He's not calling me. And she was, like, really angry. So she called him back, never answered his phone. She's like, fuck this. So she drove to his house. And she pulled up, and all the lights were out, and, you know, it was night. And I didn't realize this because he actually lived next door to Monica Piper, ironically.
Wow.
So, you know, a lot of times when I go to see Monica, if Ken's car was in the driveway, you know, I'd pop by and say hello. But I guess he used to put his car in his driveway, mm-hmm. so I had no idea. And so she said, oh, I'll just kind of take a look. And she looked in the driveway, and his car was, oh, I'm sorry, not in the driveway, in the garage. Mm-hmm. So his car was in the garage. And she's like, oh, this is suspicious. So she called 911, and they came. And they found him on the couch, dead. And so she, you know, called me, but you'll appreciate this. So a lot of people didn't know Leah and who right. she was, and she was dating Kenny. And
right.
So the next day, a group of us gathered, like, what was that movie with Kevin Kline?
Oh, yeah. The Big Chill.
The Big Chill. So it was like The Big Chill mm-hmm. at this friend's house. And we're all sitting around the table, you know, telling stories about Ken or whatever. And I just looked at Leah and I said, you're Meg Tilly. Oh, my God.
And what'd she say?
She laughed. Everybody laughed, yeah. you know. And I said, so Kenny's definitely laughing at this.
How old was he when he...
He was... 52.
Oh, my God.
And they said his heart just stopped.
Wow.
Yeah.
He had no pain, nothing, no.
No, I mean, that is God. So sad. It was really sad. It was so it's, sad.
I'm so sorry. You know, I didn't I know that that's how this part, I don't, I.
Did you know Kenny?
I didn't, and now I feel horrible because I feel like I might have said some like snotty things. I didn't realize that that's how the story was going to go. I was like, where is he now?
No.
You
know? Oh, it's no.
But she's very happily married
snot away.
To Tom.
Yes, Tom's great.
I often talk about on the show what it was like to go on the road when we had no computers, there were no Starbucks, there was nothing. And these young kids... Not Karen, but, you know, they just don't know. I have PTSD. Do you have PTSD? Like, I have PTSD from some of the gigs, like the one where you went to Buffalo and Niagara Falls and stayed in that shitty, like, I'd be away for so long and there was no way to communicate with anyone.
Yeah, it was, but you just didn't know any different.
Right.
So you just did it and
right.
and lived it and...
If I think about it now, it makes me nauseous and sick.
And I just, you know, and I also think of, like, I mean, maybe the accommodations aren't, you know, great in some places.
Right.
But I think of some of the accommodations. Like, did you ever work the comic strip in Florida?
Condo? Was there a
It was
condo?
A house.
It was a house, yeah.
It was a house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, someone shit in the pool.
Right.
You know?
I mean, oh, I remember
there was
that,
shit
yes.
in the pool. But I remember I worked there with Kenny once.
Yeah.
And... we're lying in bed, and I said, is that your foot? And he said, no. And I was like, okay. Yeah. And I
oh
jumped out
God.
Of the bed, and they had those palmetto bugs.
Oh, God, I would have fucking killed myself.
We went to a hotel. I couldn't stay there. It
right,
was just
right,
disgusting.
Right.
I mean, I had a love-hate relationship with the road, you know, like later on, but
right.
I loved it. I had so much fun, especially, you know, when I wasn't in a relationship
right.
as well. You know, I had no ties to anybody. I mean, I didn't, you know. I only slept with one person on the road.
Who?
It wasn't a comic. I worked in, where was it? I think it was Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
And I worked with Kevin Nealon.
Uh-huh.
He was the headliner. And Carrie Otis?
Yes!
Okay. Carrie was the middle act, and I was, you know, the MC. And, there was a guy at this bar who was really handsome, and he was just hanging around.
Right.
And I shoot pool. I'm a pretty good pool player.
Right.
And he's watching me, like, run the table, and, you know, he's
right.
like, oh, my God. And he had seen the show. And so we start talking, and then we invited, you know, some of the staff, which, like, they weren't really supposed to come back to the house
right.
with you, you know? That was, like, the rule. So they snuck back into the house we were staying at, and he came back, and... And he, like, wanted to stay. And I really wanted him to stay,
right.
too. But I said to him, look, no one could know that
right.
I'm sleeping with you because I can't have a reputation.
As being,
that,
like
loose on the road.
Right.
You know,
a hose bag.
You know, a guy, it doesn't matter. This can't be
right.
me.
Right.
So he had to wait for everybody to go to bed. And then like I had to kick him out early in the morning. I said, you have to leave before anybody gets up. And he really like wanted to like have a relationship with me, and I was like,
I gotta get the eight ball in the side pocket. Shut the fuck up.
Exactly. Put your stick away.
Get it away. I'm gonna put some chalk on the end. And you can go fuck yourself with it, okay?
Right. Not even the bridge. You cannot bridge to me.
Now, you are a woman, you know, you're like my age-ish, and you're a writer. And can you talk about the ageism in the writing? I mean, it's...
You know, I don't like write on shows anymore.
Right.
You know, I mean, what I've been doing of late, I mean, the last thing that I actually just finished on Friday is a like a softly scripted, kind of like a Curbish type of show. And I don't.
On what network?
It's on the Pop Network. It's not going to air until April. And it was called Hollywood Darlings, but now it's probably going to be Still Got It.
And I didn't get it. I didn't get a part on it because.
Because you weren't a 90s star.
Yes, I was.
actually, if you were, if there was something for you, you would have been on the
All
show
right, thank
for
you.
Sure.
Okay.
So it's a group of ex-90s child stars.
Uh-huh.
And now they're in their 30s, and they're playing versions of themselves, like Larry, you know, does. And so it's Jodie Sweetin from Full House.
Oh, yeah.
And
God,
Beverly Mitchell from Seventh Heaven.
Yeah.
And this woman, Christine Lakin from Step by Step. And it's really, really fun. And they're, you know, like I said, they're playing heightened versions of themselves.
Right.
They're all friends, really.
Right.
It's not reality. It's not like we're following them around. They're all, you know.
What does Beverly Mitchell say about that perverted?
She doesn't talk about it.
Oh.
Nah, she doesn't talk about it. It's very upsetting, actually.
It is. You know what? I always, I have to say, I love.
Stephen Collins.
Like
who
I
was
remember,
the father.
Oh, right.
I remember thinking like as a grown up watching that show and being like, oh my God, that family's so great. He's so I found him so appealing.
He was so handsome.
So handsome.
What a fucking asshole.
And I was like, yeah. And then it's like he ruined it, you know.
Oh God, he ruined it.
Yeah.
Right.
Duh. Will you ever move back to New York?
No. I love coming here, you know. I kind of like I'm like a little kid, you know. Like
right.
When I'm flying in, you know, I'm just like I got like that
right.
Nervous in my stomach.
Right,
and
right.
Is your husband in show business?
No. That's the greatest thing. When we first started dating, he thought that I wasn't gonna want to go out with him
because he
wasn't in show business. And I looked at him and I said, "It's your greatest asset." I love.
And then did you blow him?
I waited a little bit.
Did you get a massage? And then all right. Anyway. All right, so there are certain questions we ask every guest.
Okay.
First of all, I know the answer to this one. Are you on any antidepressants?
No.
Never?
But I have been.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
What were you on?
God,
I would never think of you to be on antidepressants.
Oh, yeah, I went through a major depression.
Really? When?
Some years ago. Like, maybe like 3 years ago.
Oh, I had a horrible one. I couldn't talk.
Like, horrible. Like horrible, yeah. Like to the point where I'm not somebody who would ever commit suicide.
But you knew why people did it.
Yes,
that's how I was because
like,
I had
totally
kids,
get it.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I totally understand,
totally get it.
But I'd see my kids' faces and I would be like, no, I can't
see my dogs.
Yeah. So how long did that last?
It was around a year.
Yeah, mine was almost.
And it was
2 years.
Really scary. It was really, really scary. I mean, you know, I'm a pretty well-balanced person, you know, and I've always, you know, always felt like, you know, I'm in control. And I got fired from a job.
Well, there's always a trigger, yeah.
And
Ellen.
I quit that one. it was really just horrible, and I just went into a tailspin, and I just didn't know who I was
and what I am doing with my life.
I would
have, oh my God, I could have helped you so much because that's sort of, I went through the same thing.
Wasn't yours around the same time, Judy?
Mine was 2010. I literally woke up like January 2nd, 2010. I was in Washington, D.C. I just finished doing the premiere of The Judy Show, My Life Sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Elisa, my girlfriend, there's something wrong. And she's like, what? And I said, I can't talk. I didn't talk for months I mean, I could, and I had diurnal depression. So at night,
what's that?
So when the sun went down, it would relieve itself a little bit. I still couldn't sleep or anything, but I felt better. But then I realized I've had that pattern my whole life of waking up going, huh, and once night hits, I'm fine.
Right.
And I think that's.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think I have that. I wonder if comedians have that.
Could be. So what did they put you on? Did it take a while to get the right meds? Were you on meds before it?
No. I'd never, ever been on antidepressive medicine,
right.
ever. It was kind of interesting. I went to see a therapist who I had seen when the last time I broke up with Kenny, the final mm-hmm. time. And she really helped me, like, because I had been to other therapists. Mm-hmm. And I actually went to her when Kenny and I had broken up another time. Mm-hmm. But this was it. I knew that this
right.
was it. And I really had to move on now.
Right.
And she helped me through, the most difficult period of my life. So I called
her
up.
What year was this?
It was...
When did you and Kenny break up?
2000... Was it 2000? Yes, because
okay.
I think it was 2000.
Okay.
Yeah. And so after I got fired, I just...
Are you telling us what job I want? You're on.
Oh, no, it's fine. It was a show that it didn't even run a full season.
Okay.
I don't even know... It started out as... Nashville Confidential. It was some mm-hmm. shitty show.
Sounds
on
like
TNT.
A shit. Okay.
And then it ended up being like a Housewives stupid
fuck
fucking
shit.
Show.
Fuck that shit. Fuck them.
Anyway.
Fucking
anyway,
asshole.
So
I think you need to blow the whistle.
Yeah, fucking fuck you assholes. You don't fire Sue Kolinsky.
Yeah, they were Jews there.
Fuck them. All right,
and I mean, the only time I'd ever gotten fired was the waitress job. So
right.
it was like, oh my God. I never got
right.
fired from anything in show business.
Right.
You know? So anyway. I went to see her, and she's like, oh, you know, I got to send you to a psychiatrist. And I'm like, a psychiatrist?
Right.
It's like, I don't need to go right. to a psychiatrist. But I really
needed
help.
But what were the symptoms?
I was so anxious.
Right.
Everything was so bleak.
Right.
I just wasn't in control of myself.
Right.
I thought I was having a nervous breakdown.
Right,
really.
Me too.
And I thought maybe I really need to, be in a hospital.
Yeah.
Elisa,
because my girlfriend's a therapist, she cut me off.
I couldn't find comfort.
Right.
Peace. I couldn't find
right.
anything.
Nothing
Did
made you
feel better.
Did
you think it was going to end?
No, you never think it's going to end.
Never thought it was going to end.
You know what I had? I would look at, if I went out. First of all, if someone said to me, you need to go pick up bananas at the store across the street, I could not have done it. I would have.
Yeah.
I was terrified. But... the one thing I remember, if I ever went out, I would go out to go to therapy, I would look at people on the street going, are you like this? Or do you know? I kept.
It's funny because you know what I used to say to myself? I used to see people on the street and think, I don't know anything about your life,
right.
but I want to be you.
Exactly. How does it feel? I used to think how does it feel to not be like this? How does it feel to not be like this? What do you do? You know, and I just, every single person I walked by, I'd be like, do you, it was
like, are you
hard.
Feeling what I'm feeling
right,
and
right,
just
right.
hiding it?
And how do you function? And yeah.
Wow.
And how is it? It was, yeah. Okay, so.
So I'm trying to think of the stuff I was on. I mean, I don't even, Klonopin?
Klonopin, yeah.
I was on that.
Not Klonopin.
What is it?
Klonopin.
That was very un-Jewish of her to say it wrong.
Klonopin.
Klonopin, whatever.
Yeah.
I was on that.
That's anti-anxiety.
Yeah. Anti-anxiety.
The
and then, I don't know.
I was on lithium. They had me on everything.
But I was on, three different medications.
Yes, yes.
And I really didn't like the psychiatrist. I felt like she was...
I have the best psychiatrist.
She wasn't great.
Yeah.
I just felt like she had no bedside manner.
Right.
And I got very excited.
A lot of them don't have bedside manner.
I got very excited the first time I went to her because in the waiting room she had these beautiful black and white photographs of Yankees from the 50s. And
oh, cool.
I'm such a huge sports fan. I'm not a Yankee fan, but I appreciate
right.
sports. And I was like, oh, man, I mean, this was meant to be. We
right.
have a connection here. She's a sport. And I said, oh, man, those pictures are great. And she's like, yeah, someone just gave them to me. And I'm like, oh.
I hate you. You fucking made my depression
took the
worse,
wind out of
cunt.
My sails. Anyway, so.
Wow.
So I,
do
and
you
then,
feel, do you have the, I still have the fear it's going to happen again.
I do. And, I started to have a little bit of a fear of it coming back what was it, like
Trump?
2 years ago. After I, you know, did a job, it was great. And then the show didn't get picked up, and I thought it was going to. And right after the show got picked up, I actually went to France for a couple of weeks, and it was great. And I was like, okay, I'll come home, and, you know, maybe in like a month or so, that's when I'll start looking for another job. And I worked on like an NBC. I mean, it was a big show.
Right.
And I didn't get any work. And then I didn't get any work, and then I didn't get any work. And I'm like, I'm like going through what I went through, you know,
I feel a year or so ago. Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. And it never got as bleak. You know, I really kind of had, had a hold
on it. I went to
it.
Cognitive behavioral therapy, which really helped and gave me the tools. But, you know, I just had a major rejection happen to me last week. And I'm like fearful. But it's like, you know, it's so interesting because this business is so personal. It's like, it's not that you're getting fired because, you know, we're downsizing. It's like, I don't like you. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're funny.
I don't think you're doing a good job.
Yeah, I don't think you're talented. I don't think you, you know, and it's like, fuck you. You fucking piece of shit. You have no idea, you know, how hard I work. And it's like, you know, the validation, you know, the fact that we need validation from an outside source.
Sure. Constantly.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so fucked up. Okay. The other question we have is, what pisses you off the most? Like, what just fucking pisses you off? Like, makes you fucking crazy? Like, the one thing.
When I'm driving in my car, which I'm in a lot in Los Angeles.
Right.
And someone wants to get in.
Yeah.
And I let them in.
Yeah.
And I don't get the courtesy wave.
Fuck them. Now, what do you do at that point?
I scream. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, seriously?
Do you do beep?
No, I don't beep. But I'm like, no courtesy wave?
Stilson has a big thing with that. Who does?
Stilson.
I fucking hate that, too.
It's just so rude, you know?
It's like, you know, you did them a fucking favor. And the, how fucking... you know, I grew up in New Jersey. New Jersey drivers, you could have a fucking, like, guy raping you, another one with a gun to your head... You know, and another one stabbing your back, and you'd be like, can I just get in there? I have to go to the hospital or the, and they'd be like, no, sorry. No.
Oh, well, one time, this is the holy grail of cuntiness, okay? Right. I was trying to get on the freeway, and I'm merging. I'm on the on-ramp, and there was no more room. I mean, I'm going to go over the side if someone doesn't let me in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of traffic.
Right.
And this young woman, I was like, I'm actually mouthed, can I get in?
Right.
And she looked at me and said, no.
Oh, my God.
You fucking cunt.
And I looked at her. I was like, incredulous. I was like, no, you actually just said no?
Right,
like,
you're not,
like, I have nowhere to go.
Right.
And I almost got out of the car because there was so much traffic.
Right.
No one was going anywhere.
Right.
I almost got out of the car and pounded on her window.
Right.
And cursed her out.
What kept you from not doing it? Just like something?
Just,
like you saw the end?
You just don't know with people. You know, douche.
Right. I always think I'm going to get killed.
Take out a gun and shoot you.
I do. I've done things where I'm like, oh, shit. I'm gonna get, you know, but that really does piss me off.
My husband is kind of like Sue.
Do you have road rage? Because I have really bad road rage.
Sometimes, but you know, I'm not as bad. You know, and it's funny because my husband would be like, "Calm down," but he gets crazy sometimes. When
you know
people
what I fucking hate? You're in the fast lane, and someone's going like 60 miles an hour, and everyone is passing you.
Yeah.
Everyone is passing you. Everyone is getting out, going out of their way to fucking get past you. And I think, I'm going to get to them. I'm going to flash.
Yeah.
I'll just do a couple flat. They'll move over for me.
Right.
And they don't. And you're like, what the fuck? Have you noticed every fucking person is fucking passing you?
I have a really difficult time with people who've been living on this planet long enough to know. Just to know.
Right.
Like you were saying, you don't drive 40 miles an hour.
In the fast lane.
You just don't.
You motherfucker.
I just think there's this whole population that's completely oblivious and doesn't think, has no ability to see outside themselves.
But I even think way before we had outside, you know, distractions with phones and people
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
they're just in their head. Yeah,
they're just
in their own head, and it doesn't occur to them. It's like a narcissism thing. It's like they're not thinking.
Everyone's
like any woman who to this day would flush a tampon holder
down the toilet.
It's like, really? Do we need this sign in the bathroom anymore?
Right.
Don't you know not to do
this?
What
about the people who don't flush the toilet at all?
Oh my God. Or they pee on the fucking seat.
I don't see it.
You fucking asshole.
It's like, what's wrong with you? Do you
and
do this at home?
And then walk out.
I know.
How about they walk out and you're walking in? You're like, don't you want to open the drawer and go, you just fucking peed all over the seat.
All right. Well, the people who pee on the seat but do flush the toilet, the only thing I can think of is that they don't turn around and they do something with their leg.
Right.
Like they flush from behind. Because, like, how do you, like, or this, the
but
flush,
turn around,
or
see
the
it. Flush comes
flushes.
Up.
Flush,
or,
flush.
Yeah.
But where they've totally stood up.
Yes.
They didn't use the seat covers.
I hate that.
And they peed on the seat. There's no way, I don't understand.
Who
and if they
up?
Are. But who actually turns around, flushes, sees all the pee on the seat and thinks, that's fine. That's okay. I don't need to do anything.
Like, I don't get it. But I think that these people are so...
Why do women stand and pee? Like, what the fuck?
Well, I have to tell you what I did recently.
What?
I did not do stand-up for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I did it.
When?
December 27th.
Where?
Wendy Liebman hosts a
show.
Oh,
yeah, that thing. That's right. I saw that. How was it?
It was great.
Do you want to do it again?
I do. I was so nervous. I almost canceled every night.
Right.
I knew about it 4 months in advance and almost canceled
every night. I want to do that show. She said I could do
it. It's the best. Well, maybe we'll do it together.
All right. When are you going back to La?
Thursday.
Oh, I love you.
I love you.
All right. Anyway. So I could talk to you. I mean, literally, I could go on for another 2 hours.
I know. I could
love
too.
You.
I love you, too.
I love you. I will always, like, I fucking love you.
I fucking love you.
I fucking love you.
I miss you a lot.
I know. I miss you, too. And I feel like we could play tennis and stuff. Okay. When I come back. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
All right. Thank you to Karen Bergreen.
Thank you, Karen. And great to see you.
Great to see you.
We discovered that we knew each other from years ago.
Wow.
The Toyota Comedy Festival. Is that what it was?
Was that at the massage parlor where you were?
I think it was.
Eating her out. Patrick, thank you for not saying a fucking word this entire time.
I don't want to interrupt.
No, I'm kidding. But Sue Kalinske, where can people find you? At Sue Kalinske?
Actually, I have a podcast, a sports podcast.
That's right.
It's the Sue and Sal Show, and
right.
that is on UBN Radio or iHeartRadio.
Right.
And I have a blog, a sports blog, suesgotgame.com.
God, you're the real deal.
Yeah, she really is. Sue, I fucking love you.
I fucking love you.
And as we always say at the end of Kill Me Now, so long!
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.